This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Changes in the law can oftentimes be controversial, and sometimes they can just make things more complicated. Last February, the federal government announced a new form to apply for citizenship or naturalization. It's twice as long and more complex, and the price to apply has gone up from $200 back in 2000 to $680 today. So for a family of four, that means dishing out over $2,700. That's one reason so many eligible immigrants are putting off citizenship. The New Americans campaign is trying to change that. It's a new partnership between organizations nationwide to encourage green card holders to apply for citizenship sooner rather than later. I sat down with the New American Campaign project director, Melissa Rogers, and asked her why people don't seem as keen on citizenship.
There are many reasons why. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons is that there are not very good incentives in place from the U.S. government to encourage people to apply for citizenship rather than retain their green cards. Because, for example, it costs $680 to apply for citizenship, whereas the cost of renewing your green card is lower. It also is a complex legal process to apply for citizenship. And some people may feel intimidated and may not be able to afford an attorney to help them through the process. There's also an English language requirement that can be waived for people of a certain age or who've been here for a while, but not everybody knows about that. And so there may be people who could apply for citizenship in their own language but aren't doing it.
So let's take the incentive portion of what you said. What does a person get by becoming a citizen, and how do you explain that to people?
There are so many benefits to citizenship. One of them, a very obvious one, is that you get to vote. There are other benefits as well. Being a citizen is the best defense against the risk of deportation. So people who are here with a green card may feel really safe and secure in being here, but anybody with a green card is still susceptible to the risk of being deported. And we saw that happen in the 90s when there was a change in the immigration laws, and there were people who had been here for a long time. The law changed and people became deportable. If you have a green card, you can't leave the U.S. for more than 6 months at a time. And if you leave for longer, you could be considered to have abandoned your green card status. And then at that point, you might not be able to come back.
When you're talking to would-be immigrants, do those reasons resonate with them more than because you get to become an American, because you get to become part of this country, kind of those deeper belonging, even philosophical meanings behind citizenship?
It's such an interesting question because I think for people who have taken the step to become a citizen, that belonging and that meaning is very important. I've seen it in my family.
Can you tell us about that?
Sure. My grandmother was a refugee. And
from where?
She was a refugee. She came over. At the point at which she came over, she'd been stateless for several decades, and she came over from France during the Second World War. And the United States was the country that gave her citizenship. And for her, she describes traveling back to the United States and being welcomed and being told, "Welcome home." And for her, that was incredibly deep and meaningful, and her allegiance to the U.S. as a citizen is very powerful. And I think we see that in immigrant communities for people who have taken the step. When we're talking about targeting people who have not taken the step, it's very challenging to find what the right issues are that are going to motivate people. Because the folks who take the step of becoming citizens right when they first become eligible, they're clearly motivated. But for the people who've been here for longer, who maybe have been here 20 years or 30 years, they may already feel like they belong. And so we have to find the right messages. And maybe it's the right people within their networks or their communities or their churches to convince them of the importance of it. And then I think once you're on the other side and you are a citizen, you can speak with power about why it matters.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Ababa. I'm speaking with Melissa Rogers, Project Director for the New Americans Campaign. So, Melissa, now let's talk about the new naturalization form, which is much longer, many new questions. So what's new about it and why is it so long now?
The naturalization application form was long to begin with. It was a 10-page form. And any of us who have sat and helped somebody complete the application form knows how long it can take. The new form, which came out in May, is 21 pages long. And it is longer in large part because a number of questions were added. Those questions were added because of changes in the law that came out of some of the anti-terrorism legislation. So the legislation required the USCIS to amend the form and add a number of questions, many of which are relating to terrorism.
So what are some of the new questions in the new form?
There are questions such as, did you ever recruit, enlist, conscript, or use any person under age 15 to serve in or help an armed force or group? Did you ever sell, give, or provide weapons to any person or help another person sell, give, or provide weapons to any person?
Okay.
Were you ever a member of, or did you ever serve in, help, or otherwise participate in any of the following groups? Military unit, paramilitary unit, police unit, self-defense unit, vigilante unit, rebel group, guerrilla group, militia, or insurgent organization. And the interesting thing about these questions is that answering yes doesn't necessarily disqualify somebody. There may be a person who served in a military unit, for example, in Israel, because it's mandatory military service. That doesn't mean that the person wouldn't be able to qualify for U.S. citizenship. It just means that people who are filling out this form are going to want to have good advice about the consequences of how they're answering the questions.
Have you ever met or heard of people, you know, they've been here, they have their green cards, but they purposefully are not citizens? For example, they may have political views or religious views that prevent them from, like, taking that oath or pledging allegiance to the United States. And how do you convince those people? Because I know a lot of those people, for example. It's hard for them. They say things like, with everything the U.S. government is doing, you know, in foreign relations and abroad and the drones and Iraq and Afghanistan, does it really make me proud to become an American citizen?
You know, what I would say to somebody who says, I don't want to become a citizen because I have political differences with the United States, I would say, become a citizen and you can make your voice heard. That is how you will be able to voice your concerns about what you feel may be the wrong things and your desires for what you think are the right things for this country to be doing. That seems to me to be almost the best reason for those people. Those are the very people who could be really motivated to become citizens.
What's been your progress so far? How successful has your campaign been?
It has been extraordinarily successful. It's really exciting to see what we've done over the last almost 3 years. So we have helped over 100,000 people apply for citizenship. By doing so free of charge and by helping people with fee waivers, we've saved communities over $89 million.
And you're just smiling. How does this make you feel personally, you know, helping all these people become citizens? It feels like it's satisfying work.
I love this work. I think it's really important for people who are living in this country to have the right to fully, fully belong. And that's what citizenship gives you. It's a right of belonging that can't be taken away.